and welcome to episode 204 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Hamid Slaharun Al-Tahan.
Sel Sidebottom.
And Azu.
And we're sailing through the ether. Don't know if London is still there. Now I come to think about it, we'll have to find out when we arrive, which is what we do now.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you. I've been working on that little song. I particularly like the rhythm of it and the lack thereof.
Yeah.
I liked the Douglas Adams poem about teleportation, which is, I teleported home one night with Bob and Sid and Meg. Bob stole Meggie's heart away and I got Sydney's leg.
Yeah, I love it.
So you have all entered the teleportation cycle, let's call it, away from Svalbard. I believe you managed to get your kill switch, unless I'm mistaken, and only at the cost of massive amounts of...
I knew we forgot something.
We left it in the council chambers.
No. Oh.
What are we like?
Whoa,
sorry, Einstein. Can you pop back?
The zombies immediately go and from a peculiar level of like a particular nature, go and put it back exactly where you found it. They don't do anything to it. They just like it being where it was, you know? Yeah, so you are all in your teleportation back towards central London in order to see what happens. With that in mind...
No, we're going to have to pay the congestion charge.
Well, you're arriving on foot, so you're okay.
We're in extremely eco-friendly transport.
I mean, you assume that the entropic costs to the universe is just massive. Anywho, can I get a perception check from everyone, please?
Yes.
A good start with a mighty one for Zolf.
Good.
Oh,
so ones are the best number.
11, but yeah, that one.
Yeah. I got 15.
Hamid rolled a natural 20 for a total of 37.
Oh, also, actually, that is a good point. You asked us to level up between sessions. Have we leveled up during the teleport, or are you waiting for us
to do a
sleep?
For the sake of my ease, yes.
Then my result was actually 13, because I put my perception
it's so
up by two.
High!
So, Ben's smashing it. Bryn actually is smashing it. How are you doing, Lydia?
Well, Sel rolled a 7 for a fancy total of 21.
Okay, cool. What did Scrat get?
19.
You are teleported into London near the manhole cover that you first came out of from Other London, not right next to the one that got away, to be clear. So there is a short walk. To everyone apart from Hamid, it appears like it's a reasonable teleport in. There doesn't seem to be anyone around, anything like that. Hamid, you see the tiniest little strip of cloth pulled out of way behind a crate. Observing your position, if you see what I mean. Like, it was a one-in-a-million fluke. Someone is hidden behind a bunch of crates. You know this. You don't know who. And they've just pulled something out of view as you plopped in.
Who's there?
What?
What?
Hmm?
I walk in that direction cautiously.
Since you're so clued in on that thing, you see an eye poke out. It appears to be Barrett is looking around a crate and staring at all of you and then peeking back for a sec. A little white hanky kind of languidly kind of bounces around the place.
Better come out.
What is this?
As you're looking, Cell's mutagen fades off, which basically means that they kind of stand up awkwardly and like the wings like fold in. And like they took some charisma damage last term, but they get charisma back from not being a beast anymore. So as like talking again. I thought he was a professional, like, thief, not a...
Can everyone please give me a sense motive, quick?
Yeah.
19.
Unnatural 20.
7.
11 and 8.
Okay, cool, yeah. So, Barrett is behaving ever so slightly oddly. However, mostly what he looks like is worried. He sort of effectively looks at you, goes, gives that, but he's not really paying too much attention to any of you. And then he just sort of looks at you and sort of gives a little bit of a finger on the lips whisper kind of symbol, if you see what I mean. And then he gestures for you all to come over.
So Azu's going to come over because she's fed up at this point. She's like, another? Something else? What? I thought we were... What is it? That's her internal monologue right now.
Yeah, I will walk over and set my glaive on fire.
He sort of gestures for you to come over and he's still going like, shh, shh, shh. Like, I was here to make sure that you had a safe place to land. The minions, shall we say, are out clearing a space. They're They've been moving into this area, so they're having to work to keep things away. We need to hurry back now.
Oh, fine, is that let's it? Go.
What did you think our plan was? Like that we would just wander about?
More or less, yes. Barrett just starts heading back towards the one that got away, but seems to be spending a lot of time looking elsewhere. He seems a lot more cautious than he was the last time you were here. And he basically just not too interested in what you've been doing and seems a lot more interested in not getting caught out. I don't know how else to put it. He seems under a little bit more strain than normal. That's about it.
Azu does a massive silent sigh and just plods on and is just like, we would have been there already if you hadn't done the theatre. I don't
understand. Can everyone please give me a perception check?
Ha! Another natural one.
Good!
17.
19 and 18.
21.
Everyone apart from Zulf, shocker, but Barrett seems to have been telling the truth, whereas before, you know, everyone was sort of on the main street and so on. It seems busier around this location specifically, and he's moving a lot quicker than he was last time and being a lot more cautious. I'm not going to require stealth checks, but something has definitely changed while you've been away. There's a lot more activity around here, and that seems to be what's putting him on edge. A lot more people, a lot closer, but there isn't the sudden telltale cry of someone spotting you or anything like that. You are able, unless anyone chooses to take a frankly bananas detour, you'll all be able to make it back to the one that got away without incident and get to that central steel door thing.
Okay.
Once you make it there, Barrett, though, immediately wants to go in first. And he's like, bang, bang, bang. Me first, please. Mm. Seems to be looking around a little bit more.
Why, Mr. What was it? Mr. Racket?
I think he's just being a coward.
Oscar, why don't you go in with him? We'll do it in twos like before.
Yes.
And Barrett's like, yeah, I'm gonna need to show what's in my bag of holding, so just squidge up, Wild. Fine, come on, hurry up. Barrett just starts pushing his way into the main room and gesturing for Wild, who just looks at the rest of you like...
Give him a shrug.
Yeah, we all shrug back.
Fine. Wild heads in, the door closes. There's a longer pause than there has been previously, but then the door opens, they're both gone, and I'm fine to cycle everyone from the rest of the party through the airlock again.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. At the other end then, having gone through the airlock, you are in the presence of Augusta again. She's there. She seems to be chewing Barrett out a little bit. So you sort of turn up mid-sentence where it's something along the lines of, I don't care if it's a good haul. You don't just disappear like that. You've caused enough trouble. If you would just stop messing around, you're lucky to be allowed in here at all. Well, you know, if you're going to treat me like that, maybe I won't go errands at all. If you don't do errands at all, you have no point at all. In which case, we can just kill you now.
She's got a point, Barrett.
I'm going to my room. Barrett just plops down a bag of holding. Nothing's worth this, and just starts stomping off down to his room again.
Right.
How'd it go?
Yeah, we got the thing. Genuine question. Is he necessary anymore?
I'm not sure. If he is, it's not going to be for much longer.
Right. Noted.
We need to think about the rest of the cult he's working with as well. I know we don't let the squizzards in here, but, well, it's time to address those issues.
The fewer agents they have as quickly as possible, the better, in my opinion.
Well, also, if we start to move Babbage, they're going to try and take control of him. That seems pretty obvious to me.
Okay, this escalated really, really quickly. Mostly I was kind of just looking at you all and thinking, you all look like garbage.
Yes, it's been a long day, I guess.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll tell you what, if you pass me the kill switch, I'll take it down. You can go, I'll have a rest.
I'll take it down, thank you.
Okay. Augusta's just both hands in the air like, fine, whatever. Augusta starts heading down into the sort of the house front porch kind of dealy bit, and he's just like, kettle's on. Don't let the door hit you on the way in.
Thank you.
You are now all in the locker room. Wild pipes up once you're all there. Looks like Barrett's been doing some chores, a few errands.
What was in the bag?
Really high-end gear he definitely shouldn't have. So either he inherited a department store, or more likely the British Museum, or he's been fetching things for Augusta again.
What do you think about Barrett? Should we get rid of him now?
I'd wait until we know that this machine's ready.
All right.
Because otherwise all we need to do is find out there's something missing, and then, frankly, I'd rather send him to find out where it is first rather than us having to risk our neck every time, but...
That makes sense. All right, well, when we're ready to go, he's gone. Does anybody have an issue with that?
Just to clarify, because my head's still a bit swimming from the...
Oh, I'm going to chop his head off.
Oh,
Wild winces a little bit. We can't afford to cut him loose.
There are certain things that need to exist in the future, and Barrett has proven himself repeatedly to not be one of them.
The options are imprisonment or...
If there was still a way to imprison him, try him for his crimes properly, I'd vote for that, but... We're not in a place where that exists, and he deserves to die for the things he's done, unfortunately.
I'm not sure if every option has been exhausted. Surely there's a room he could be locked in. Sorry, the thing, it messed with my head.
We don't need to decide anything now, okay? We all, well, I say we all, I'm actually all right, but the rest of you look worse for wear. Why don't we sort ourselves out? It's not like we're under a particular time limit, as far as I'm aware.
No, we need an update from Nicola and Ada about how the machine is coming along once they've had a chance to integrate the switch, so... I guess some rest is in order, for me at least.
Right, yeah, let's go deliver this to Lovelace and Tesla and...
Right.
And I'll head off down to the lab.
I'm going to follow Zolf, if that's okay with everyone, and assume that everyone else is sort
of... I was expecting to be followed along. I can't remember. Who has the kill switch?
You do. You took it.
It was me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I grabbed it out of the plant because I was swooping and flying.
Oh.
I may well have passed it on or put it in someone else's bag of holding. I don't know if we ever can...
Yeah, Skrark passes the kill switch to Zolf.
Sure. Okay,
Zolf
fine.
Now carries the kill switch. And I suddenly really want to call it the football.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just for clarity, when I said, like, I'll take it down, it was kind of like the group will. It was more just
I
like...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I misunderstood that.
Yeah, I'll happily go with you.
Yeah, that wasn't me not trusting the rest of the group. That was me not trusting Augusta, because... Augusta.
When are you going to betray the party and turn out to be evil, Ben? I've been waiting ages.
Well, you briefed me about having the long game as a doppelganger, so all right.
Fine. All right. In which case, then, heading down into the... basically into the lab proper. We'll skip all of the faff. Augusta is chilling. Barrett's listening. I'm going to go ahead and say Barrett's listening to loud music behind a closed door. Probably some kind of opera.
Gramophone turned all the way up.
Yeah. With a sign scrawled on his door saying keep out.
What's that symphony which includes actual cannons?
Oh, the 1812 overture.
there's a bit of me that the kind of teenage sulky Barrett feels a lot harder to kill.
Yeah.
As a trope, like it feels more and more uncomfortable than the manipulating evil dude. But that might be what you're going for. I don't know.
Pretty sure it is.
And also this could all be part of his manipulation.
Yeah, true.
Summit Neil peels off and immediately stalks away long before getting to the labs. Yeah, you're heading down into the labs. It's much as you left it. Tesla appears to be asleep at his desk again. Ada seems to be picking her way between the racks, making minor adjustments here and there. Eventually, Ada notices you and is like, oh... Did you? How is it?
Very carefully put the kill switch on a table.
Ooh. Is that it? Is that's the right thing, right? That's
bloody hope it is.
Ada puts on a pair of, you know, those sort of white cotton gloves for like handling delicate electronics or papers or whatever, and starts gently, gingerly twisting it this way and that.
I'm pretty certain it is.
Ada then, without responding, sort of rushes over and sort of jabs Tesla in the elbow because she can't touch you with because of the gloves. And he's like, what? What is it? Yeah, you know what? I won't bother with a perception check. Everyone can hear. Did they do it? Really? Oh, thank God. He sort of picks himself up off his stool and hobbles over to start examining it with Ada. And they both immediately start looking back and forth and examining it from all angles and start taking notes. Ada looks up from him and going, this is going to take an enormous amount of time. You're welcome to help, but I suspect you're going to want the rest, but it looks like you've done it.
Good.
Well done. Was there anything that we need to be aware of before we do any kind of work on it?
Big monster.
In a planar of void, yeah, that was kind of attracted to it or created by it or something. I don't know.
It was very bad.
Yeah, when we found it, there was... I give a description of the creature. It seemed to be... But then... I'm struggling to remember, actually, what happened. Like, didn't we fly the kill switch over to the creature and then press it and it sucked the creature in?
Full Ghostbuster style, yeah.
I described that.
Right. Ada immediately takes it and, without even waiting for Tesla to catch up, goes over to a wall panel, pulls it down, inserts it and closes the wall panel, and then sort of opens it, revealing what is effectively a big, thick containment chamber. Big old, 2-inch thick glass, that kind of thing.
Whatever the dwarves were doing, there was another of those large plants in the central council chamber, and they were clearly trying to use it, and the plant was dead, and so it may have been an artifact of how they were using it that summoned the creature rather than just an inherent property.
So it's okay. So what we'll normally do is if it's okay with you, we'll ask for we have some documents in the rooms. If you can write a formal debrief document so that you don't forget anything. I'm just asking if there's any crisis thing. That's good. It's in containment.
Great.
You go do you and just make sure to write everything that you remember down, and then I can collate that, you see, and it'll lead to a more wholesome view of everything that happened, if that's okay.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. Thank you, and good luck to both of you.
And we all need some rest.
Yeah.
And you four, come see me in the morning, and I'll sort you out.
Thank you, Sol.
Okay.
Is there anything that we can be doing to help you at all? We're none of us are magical healers, but,
No.
Hot towels, that kind of thing.
Well...
Oh, that would be nice, actually.
I'm fine, thank you. And I will now head off to,
Sure. In which case, then, I'm going to accelerate time a little bit because I think that people need a little bit of a rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Important note, does Azu get her hot towel?
So, in terms of important notes, in order, I'll say... I need to know first if you want to have any social chat before sleeping today.
Not I.
No.
No.
I think we're all too tired.
Yeah.
In which case, then, each of you gets visited by Augusta, and I'd like to RP that comparatively quickly.
Sure.
Hamid, you get a knock-knock and Augusta's at the door.
Oh, hello.
Towels.
Oh, thank you. That's genuinely really appreciated.
Augusta sort of leans nonchalantly in the doorway, kind of just nosing around your room a little bit. What was it like?
What was what like?
Svalbard. Sounded interesting.
Overrun.
With?
Plants and zombies.
Hook me up, Hamid, okay? I'm spending almost all day in a bunker. Give me something.
Well, so there were these things that we started to call the Watchers, and they were like, if you take a dead body and you grow a plant out of it, and they had like, and they were reacting to sort of movement.
Give me a sense motive.
Sound. 10 total.
Augusta seems quite interested. I'm going to move on from that conversation, if I may. Azu gets a knock-knock with Augusta delivering some hot towels.
Oh, thanks.
This one, Augusta just walks in, sits on your bed, has a look around.
Ah, that's fine. Azu also sits... Actually, Azu lies down on the bed and just puts the hot towel directly on her face.
That good, was it?
I'm very tired. It was very scary. I hit a lot of things.
What kind of scary? I hear you were fighting a lot of zombies and stuff.
Yeah, quite sad. There were lots of dead bodies, but the most frightening thing was...
Yeah, don't really care about the sad bits. How did they fight?
Not that well, but there were a lot of them. Also, there was this thing made of bones.
Hamid didn't say anything about the bone thing. He was just going on about these weird planar things. Give me a sense motive.
Yeah. There we go. And it's fine. It's a 5 plus 13, so that's an 18.
An 18. Augusta just wants horrible details. Augusta is treating your adventure like a penny dreadful, and just wants to know what are the cool details, or this is pure living vicariously.
Wow. Once Azu clocks this, she's going to say, you know what? I'm not the best at storytelling. So if you want lots of gory details, I mean, Cell notices that kind of thing.
That is very cruel.
Augusta just leaves and immediately heads to Cell's room. Knock, knock.
Yeah.
Hey, towel. Throws towel at you. So, what happened? Details. I want details. Give me details. Come on.
A thing made of nothing sucked my brain out, and I have a headache. But now I'm here.
Can you give me a sense motive quickly?
Ooh. That's actually okay. 18.
Augusta's thoroughly disappointed in you. You have gone from being a prime cut to scraps in a single sentence. She has just lost all interest in you just in that single sentence.
Cell has absolutely no interest in this woman's regard whatsoever.
Augusta just leaves. Knock, knock on Zolf's door.
What?
Hey, cool. So, when are we going to kill Barrett?
That's for me. With the greatest of respect, I have had quite enough with the global upper crust, with all of you lot, and everything that you have done to the planet. So, right now, piss off. And if you're lucky, you'll get to live in the world that comes next. Barrett ain't. And I'll slam the door in her face.
You hear through the door, in a sort of, you don't even need a sense motive, in a faintly amused voice.
You're alright, Zolf, I like you.
And then Augusta leaves.
I will throw the door open, glaive a flame, and point it at her throat. I am in no mood for glib, sarcastic cleverness. Okay? One more word out of you when you're in my earshot, and I will cut your throat then and there. Do we understand? You can nod.
And I'm going to take a break there. Ooh. And welcome back. I am going to go ahead and let people sleep, though I would ask everyone for a perception check, please.
While asleep? Oh, no.
Yeah.
21.
18.
29.
23 for Hammond, 25 for Skrock.
Okay, everyone apart from Azu recognises that activity continues whilst you're all sort of resting in your beds, the odd thing here or there. Cell, you at some point, whilst kind of semi-dozing, get the impression someone's padding around a little bit out in the corridor, as opposed to, like, you know, stomping past. Someone's, you know, padding around a bit, but that's as much as it really is. No one's been in anyone's rooms or anything like that, but yeah, you get the impression that things have been happening. It hasn't just been a complete vacuum while you've all been asleep. In which case, then, you all awake well.
Oh,
ooh,
good.
I'm assuming there's some clerical admin, by which I mean
Ayo.
Healing admin, as a phrase, I realise I've misled us. I've taken us into a conversational cul-de-sac. Rescue me, Ben.
Some clerical. Yeah, so but basically, I have prepared 4 uses of restoration, which will get rid of all of the ability damage. And fortunately, I have 4, you know, patients. So I
convenient.
Can just, yeah, spend that all and sort it out. I don't know if we want to use that for a chance for a bit of one-on-one roleplay, or we can just be like, Zolf sorts it out. Yay.
I will leave it to the group. I don't mind.
I think as soon as Cell's fixed, they will start babbling at Zolf how happy they are and grateful. And it will be, if anything, slightly more annoying for Zolf. But hopefully there's enough charm in there. You know,
I think you get a smile out of Zolf, but he says,
"I
do have to see the others, so
Oh, I just wanted to say that it is really lovely to have my head back in gear. It's so awful when, like, a void of nothingness makes you feel like, you know, like they take the nothing. I really should look up. In fact, I'm going to go and see if they've got any books on that. That's going to be interesting. Do you know what maybe I should look up in the index? No, you know what? No. You go fix things. Yeah. Thanks
right,
again.
I'm going to. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Very good.
Any other takers?
Possible out of character question. I believe restoration requires diamond dust as a spell component which cannot be handled with assumed materials. Are we ignoring that rule?
Do you want the bad news or the good news?
There's loads of diamond dust there.
The bad news is, Bryn is correct, there is a material component. The good news is, you're in a bunker that has stockpiles.
Fine, I'll find some diamond dust.
Hamid will come to Zolf's door. Hi, are you ready? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Sit down and I'll sort you out. I mean, and this process is like, it takes 9 seconds, so.
Sure. Thank you, Zolf. I really appreciate it.
Good.
Hamid pauses and then leaves.
Hamid, look, you were signalling you wanted to talk pretty thoroughly there, so what? Look.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to. I guess I wanted to clear the air and just apologise. High stress situations, and I'm just trying to get better at dealing with everything, and I'm sorry. But I'm okay if you're okay.
Likewise. Look, we can work together, that's fine, and, you know, I respect you as, you know, somebody who will help sort out this stuff.
Same.
I ain't saying I'm going to go to many parties with you afterwards, but, you know, that is, yeah, it's water under the bridge, all right?
Yeah, I feel the same. Thank you. Thank you for clearing the air. That's, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, fine. You too. All right. I've got a seat to pass.
Yeah,
now.
Of course.
Oh, I'm really proud of both of them. Yeah, I'm glad.
See, if I give you all enough pain, niceness comes out the other end. It's all good.
Well, also, we just went through a big, dangerous dungeon being incredibly competent and being on the same page about things the whole time, so that helps too.
That's what I said. The more pain and dungeons I bring your way, the better people you become. You are all going to be lovable heroes forged in the crucible of my hatred.
For about 5 minutes until you kill us, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, forging's difficult.
Okay, Azu comes to your door. Hello.
All right.
Well, not all right.
Yeah, all right.
So that's why I'm here.
Cool. All right, sit down. And again, yes. 9 seconds, sort you out, you're better.
Okay. Are you really going to kill Barrett?
I mean, yes.
He seems a bit... He's very pathetic, see, and I hate him very much. I'm figuring out how much I care, but...
The man is extraordinarily manipulative. He is a snake and a poison. If we let him live, he's just going to do the same thing he does all the time. You heard him. He's an opportunist, right? And he's a survivor. That's how he wins. And if what I'm doing is wrong, then I will be sorted out, metaphysically speaking. And if it alienates you lot, then that's fair. I'm not asking people to agree with me, but he will destroy whatever comes next if we give him the opportunity. And all the people like him will do the same thing. It's all people like him are the reason this has happened. They have destroyed the world. They have doomed millions of people because of their egos, because they're hungry for power, because they don't care about anything other than themselves. And I have I've spent my life working under those people, the meritocrats, the harlequins, they're all the bloody same. They just want power, and they spout whatever words will help them do that. And I am done with people like Barrett.
Can we not just...
I'm not giving him the chance.
What if we lock him up again somewhere?
He'll get out. He was locked up before, wasn't he? Right? He said in Damascus he was locked up, he got out.
Yes, and I suppose it's not as things aren't going to go back to normal just because...
He's been given all the chances he needs, and he has destroyed so many lives. My only solace is Sasha got out from under him.
Well, this is... She didn't want to kill him.
Then that's Sasha's choice, and this is mine.
Okay.
Anyway, she's thousands of years dead, so, you know.
Well, she had a nice life without him.
Yes.
I think.
And now we can all have a nice life without him, too.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. This has been the best conversation.
There's so many answers to this, but, like, which character is right to say them? It's like, it feels like I'm in a Marvel thing where they're just like, oh, but he's, you know, but they chose violence. And it's like, there's a logic, but none of the characters can actually see the holes in the logic. And it's just like, how do you do this? How do you do this?
Well, I'm just very tired. I am.
Yeah, me too.
Very tired.
Look, if you all stop me, I ain't going through you to get to him. That's not worth it. But he needs sorting out. He needs getting rid of. Or we're jeopardising everything that we're working for.
Right.
That's a conversation for later, all right?
It is. We still need to talk to Babbage, I think. They said there was something...
You can talk to Babbage?
We talked to Shaween.
I don't think we know if we can talk to Babbage yet.
Anyway.
Yeah, we got some conversations. As World said, we need to make sure everything's working before we can actually be done with Barrett, because he's got some skills. So, you know.
I'll think on it. I'll think on it.
Sure. All right. Anyway, I'll...
All right.
See you later.
Azu does a shoulder... Not a...
Yeah.
Sturdy
and like
grip.
Attack.
Zolf can do the same for like Azu's elbow, I guess. That's about as high.
Yeah. And clanks out of the room.
Okay, did everyone fill in their required paperwork? Did everyone do their homework? Has everyone told their debrief papers, said what they did? Has everyone done what they were asked to?
Cell needed extra pages.
There's always one.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Hamid very much did, and there was probably more detail than necessary, but he also probably didn't need extra pages.
In which case, then, Ada will have done the rounds collecting paperwork and taking it down for analysis and so on. I'd say, as you're all heading down to breakfast, you see the table is laid for everyone, and there appears to be decent-ish fare, and there appears to be lots of bulky parcels laid out around the table with a card in front of it, like a little place-setting card. Wilde's already sat behind his bulbous-looking parcel-wrapped package going, I think it's our lucky day.
Oh.
Huh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, that's exciting.
Is that like a thing that, like, are all of the presents for us? Do we...
Turns out that Augusta does actually have a role here beyond just annoyance, which is quartermaster. So Barrett may have been sent out to fetch some things for us.
Oh.
Right.
Okay, so not 100% useless. That's nice. Can we open them now?
Shrugs, yeah, why not? Go for it. Yeah, cool.
Let's all open them together.
How exciting.
Ooh, a present.
I'm going to say that Wilde already kind of opened it and then closed it like he hasn't, and then opens it up again and then pulls out the most ludicrously resplendent clothing you have ever seen. It has a very large ruff.
Ooh.
And it's like fully rainbow shimmering, and when he sort of flaps it out, glitter flies off from it.
Hammond is rolling knowledge arcana.
Can I get knowledge nobility from Azu?
Oh my goodness.
You can indeed.
30 total on knowledge arcana. Can I recognise these as robes of the thespian?
Oh, you're ahead of me. You're ahead of me, Bryn.
There was no way that Wild was getting any other item.
You may, in fact, have spotted that Wild may have been given robes of the resplendent thespian. They are not a item that is mass-produced. What you are able to do is discern the kind of things that it does based on legend, but not necessarily like...
Yeah.
It's not like you can go buy this off the rack, you know? This is a custom job.
Oh, Oscar, aww, those are magnificent.
For the people who want to know, as an example, they allow you to disguise the presence of armor as normal clothing. They grant spell resistance, bonuses to saves, and enhancements on caster level checks and stuff. This is high-end stuff. Can I get that knowledge and ability, Azu?
Yes. I just realized I never put any ranks in it, ever, so it's all just raw
knowledge
D20s.
History, if anyone has that.
Sure. Oh. 17 on history for me.
10 on nobility, I'm afraid.
Both of you have a vague memory that there was a British playwright who was renowned for having a spectacular set of clothing. Very, very skilled. You cannot really place it.
Assassin's Creed, where we just meet a gallery of famous historical figures.
Yeah! What was his name? And Billy
Literally,
Shoups?
The whole campaign has been us meeting famous historical figures.
Oh, yeah,
figures.
We worked in a room with Wilde and Einstein and Nikola Tesla. And, yeah, no, actually, I get your
and
point.
And Ada Lovelace, yeah.
Yeah, there was a very well-renowned playwright, but none of you are particularly into that scene, but he was meant to wear, like, one of those neck thingies, so...
I believe the bard. Yeah.
Wow.
The bard item. The bard item that Wild has now.
You were going to look ridiculous, Wild.
Oh, Wild Deadeye stares off and goes, I am going to look magnificent. Anyone else want to open theirs?
Oh, yeah. Like, Azu was absolutely serious when she said that Sol opened them at the same time.
There's no mysterious ticking coming from any of these packages, yeah, by the way, so...
I mean, yeah.
I do still have that clock somewhere.
Hamid rips into his like an excited child on his birthday.
To everyone else, mm-hmm, it appears that he's been given a mundane bar of metal. Doesn't really seem to do anything. Does he pick it up?
Yeah.
Immediately, inlaying golden lines start tracing themselves and etching themselves through the rod. Congratulations, Bryn, you're the proud owner of a metamagic rod of maximize.
Oh, say that my. 12 times fast.
Metamagic rod of maximize. Metamagic, yeah. That see.
For listeners, it's a good thing. Does good things.
Did you say just a rod, not a lesser rod?
No, not lesser. Come on.
Oh
man.
My.
I give good presents. I'm very thoughtful.
Wow.
So I'll leave you to have a quick check if you want, Bryn, but. Makes good numbers go up, basically, right?
3 times a day, when I cast a spell, instead of rolling the dice, all the numbers just come out as maximum.
Good lord.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
goodness me. Good golly.
Don't examine why I'm giving nice things. Just keep opening presents. Who's next?
Is there one for Skrark, too?
There is one for Skrark. Of course there is.
Skrark? I wonder if Skrark has had presents before.
Oh,
isn't
no!
Isn't that a terribly sad thought? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have had it.
Oh, that's so sad.
I mean, it's very difficult to have that thought because Skrark has already torn open and is wearing his belt of physical might.
Ooh!
He hefty! Hefty lad!
Ooh, what bonuses does that give, Alex?
Dex and con is what I'm focusing in on.
Awesome. So, did you say, is it plus 2 or plus 4?
Plus 4.
Oh, actual hit points for Skrark. I'm so happy.
Yeah, you can survive a hit now. It's fine. Anyone else want to go?
Oh, yeah. Azu opens it with the same enthusiasm as Hamid, but not ripping it. Like, she finds the fold and
now,
carefully...
It is difficult because your package is enormous. It is occupying the entire end of the table and is making it difficult to see other people at the table. Wild definitely seems interested in yours because yours is the most like large gift, and so he's immediately like, "Oh, what's going on
Wait,
there?
Is it standing on end then?
Yep, yeah. It's on end at the end of the table.
You can just see Azu's grin over the top, like."
You open it to see the single most badass agile breastplate you have ever seen. Mechanically, for people to look it up, it is a +3 righteous armor. There is a note affixed to it.
What does the note say?
The note on this one, very simply, just says, whatever you do, don't use this inside. Full stop.
Hmm.
It is glorious armor, though.
Can I... Okay. Okay.
Does as you get another knowledge nobility to recognise the provenance of this one?
Yeah, can I roll
first
again?
First things first, do you touch the armour?
Yes, I'm going to immediately touch it, for sure.
So the armour is currently inlaid with golden filigree, not in a way that is, like, frippish, but built into it. Mm-hmm. As Azu touches it, the gold is replaced with a deep and vibrant pink that flows throughout the golden inlay till the armour itself has adopted the pinkness that has characterised your previous armour.
Yeah, Azu has my current face of delight.
It hums gently with a pleasant tone that no one can quite place for a moment, and then it settles down again.
Oh! Do you think don't use it means don't wear it, or do you think I can put it on but I can't get hit?
If anyone has knowledge nobility or knowledge history, knowledge arcana, I'd allow for an insight as to, like,
okay,
whether it's about to, like, explode or be cursed.
Sel got a natural one on knowledge arcana, which does of course work out to 21 because of
sure,
their
sure.
high knowledge arcana, but that is still a natural one. If you want them to
Understood?
Say with absolute certainty that it would turn Azu into a shrimp.
I rolled an 8, so I'm just going to say that Azu is so pleased that she's not really paying
yeah,
that much
that scans.
Attention.
Natural 20 on knowledge history, leading to a 25.
Total of 35 on knowledge arcana.
You recognise that this armour has wholly magical properties that will turn someone into some kind of combat beast. The idea of not turning it on inside is maybe it'll affect everyone within the room, maybe it will ruin the room itself.
Yeah.
It's going to have a spectacular effect, whatever it is. Sel,
mm-hmm.
Does Hamid speak up on that? Sorry.
Yeah, Hamid will say something like, oh, it probably has some sort of activation, like similar to casting a spell that inlaid into it, but I think wearing it, you won't be a problem.
Sel, rather embarrassingly, Hamid's quite wrong here.
Uh-huh.
And he seems to have gone out on quite a limb here, so I'll leave you to interpret that how you want, but he's quite wrong. It's not dangerous, but it's very embarrassing for him.
Yeah, like, I'm a little concerned. It reminds me a little of some of the symbols one learns when learning how to transmogrify one's shape. So I would just think maybe like looking at it cocks their head. Maybe a triangle or a square, maybe a platypus.
What was Zolt's check again?
Exactly sure.
25 with a natural 20 on knowledge history.
There is an old English legend of a king who united various separate kingdoms into a single sort of nation. It's widely considered apocryphal.
Are we going Arthur or Alfred here?
It's a good question.
Okay.
It's widely considered apocryphal. However, it is widely agreed that there was a very powerful king-esque figure a long time ago, renowned for having wildly powerful armor that drew the attention of everyone and sort of scared people into line a little bit.
Very exciting.
So is it Arthur or Alfred? Because one is definitely fake and one is definitely real.
Within this world, it's a disputed fact as to whether they
Fair
were
enough.
Known as Arthur or Alfred.
Fair enough.
The history has not been kept particularly well from that period. The meritocrats are very good about keeping current records.
I don't mention it because it's not relevant.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyone else got any packages they want to open?
Sel will open theirs.
It appears to have a pair of lenses. At first, they appear to be cut crystal or similar, although on closer examination, no, that's probably some type of diamond. They appear to have been extracted from something else.
Sel, before getting through... I say this now because it's before having finished the thought...
Mm-hmm.
Sel immediately slots them into their goggles, which are the reskinned headband of vast intelligence. I assume if there are lenses, they will fit in that.
Oh, yeah, of course. In fact, interestingly, they look slightly too large but resize as you try to insert them.
Ah.
It's rather odd. Can't decide whether it's just because they look so schnazzy or whether, you know, it's just a quality of the light or something, but you may mechanically have a headband of mental superiority that just makes you kind of just mentally better across the board.
Even better!
So that, I think that's a plus four better to all your mental stats.
Cool. Okay, so Cell's int modifier is now plus 8.
Ooh, that's terrifying.
That is so much admin, Alex. I'm not even sure if I'm happy about that, because Cell is an entirely int-based character.
Wait. Can you all hear that?
Yeah.
That sounds like... Is that a Lydia problem? It is. Lydia problem.
I think that that changes the amount of bombs, the damage the bombs do, the amount of spells.
Yeah.
Obviously, I will have to calculate skill points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just put them all in handle animal. Be fine.
Yeah. I genuinely, what can I... No, you know what? I am going to bring knowledge planes up to...
Ooh, I'm just poor choice. I really don't think that's going to come up.
Planar issues, yeah. I doubt.
I mean, you're going out on a limb there. I'll try and see what I can rustle up, but yeah.
The final thing is that this is the first time in the actual campaign that I am playing a character whose charisma is like zero or above. So, unfortunately, like, this is the complicated thing. Like, it's not like I went for these charisma minus one characters because I struggle with social situations, and so that's an entertaining thing to play. So this is going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I'm cool now. Just so you know, that is... I've got a modifier, and now I am cool.
Understood.
Unrelatedly, Cell is cool as well.
Very good.
And last but not least, I have a... I believe I have a Zolf kicking around who has a package.
Yeah, I've been opening at the same rate. Like, I've been quite careful, properly, like, doing the thing where you try and sort of preserve the paper. You know, you kind of undo it along lines, try not to cut things. Just being very methodical about it.
So, as you open it, what you seem to find within is a very well-made but comparatively plain-looking light grey cloak. You can't for the life of you, though, place the material that it's made from. It doesn't seem to be a hide, it doesn't seem to be feather, it doesn't seem to be wool. It seems to have a smooth quality to it. It's warm to the touch. It catches the light in a, maybe with a faint iridescence, but nothing particularly spectacular. However, it is very hard to explain. Just touching it, it feels wonderful to hold. It just immediately, it feels like it's lifting your spirits just by sort of handling it. It just... It feels right in a way that very few things have recently.
Aww, okay. It's a cloak of make happy.
What you are holding in your hands is a mantle of faith. People can give a check if they want, but let's be honest, it's pretty much going to come down to, you may have spotted, historical figure had a mantle of faith. So it's up to you, really.
I mean, this time I got the one, so that's a natural one on Knowledge Arcana.
In that case, Hamid, can you believe this is clearly... Augusta and Zolf have clearly fallen out and she's deliberately given Zolf a dud. How petty can you get? Honestly, it's ridiculous.
Ooh, and fortunately, this is a chest slot, not a shoulders slot, so I can wear my cloak at the same time.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, for anyone who wants to know, Mantle of Faith basically makes you real good against evil. I'll just look it up for you quick. Mantle of Faith. When worn over normal clothing, it grants damage reduction of 5... evil to the character wearing it. So basically, you just take 5 less damage, pretty much full stop, because there's nothing I enjoy more than throwing evil at you.
Actually, something interesting. It says when worn over normal clothing. Does that mean I can't wear armor?
I am choosing to say you're fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah, sure.
And Wild immediately sort of kicks back wearing enormous, frankly, rainbow-coloured spangly attire he could not be happier with, flicking his ruff gently as he leans back, going, it's nice to be appreciated again for a change. I don't know about all of you.
So, this has all more or less been happening simultaneously. So, you know, Hamid has seen the pink glow spread over Azu's armour. He's seen Wild put on this absolutely magnificent robe, and he's picked up his own new rod and seen the glittering gold symbols appear. And... He's been grinning ever since he saw the presents open. But now, you know, as these things happen simultaneously, the grin has spread wider and wider. And then suddenly, the back of his suit jacket rips open, and brassy dragon wings burst out. Oh!
And I'll end the episode there.
Hooray!
That's new.
Okay, I'll end the episode there.
Well done! Well
done! You're a real boy!
Yeah, we didn't talk about all the new things we got from our level up, but everyone knew Wings was happening, so they've happened. The wings have arrived.
You've ever heard the phrase taking the garbage out where you just get all of the bad news and you do it in one go? It's like that, but with good news. You've now all got big magic items, you've leveled up and everyone's rested. I can skip past all of the like nice, that's done now. But yeah, that's everything for now. So no one question why I'm making sure that you're leveled.
I'm sure it's fine.
Well equipped.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well rested.
No problems.
Just accept it for what it is right now. The future is a fiction and the past has already happened. What is the current? But a present to be unwrapped.
Bye!
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 Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.